What is up, everyone? Welcome here back to our little podcast here at Fandango. My name is Eric Davis, and joining me is Sean O'Connell. Sean, The Great Gatsby comes out in theaters this week. This is a movie that was delayed because they wanted to retrofit it for 3D. It was supposed to be an awards movie, I think, come out late last year, and now it's in May. In an interesting weekend between blockbusters, between Iron Man 3 and Star Trek Into Darkness, and we always get one of these, I don't know, kind of movies at this weekend. Dark Shadows was the movie last year, and it kind of did nothing, and it wasn't that great. And now this year, The Great Gatsby, Baz Luhrmann, has a very Moulin Rouge sort of feel. Romeo and Juliet did something similar with that adaptation. Mm-hmm. Critics are mixed on it. We both saw it. What do you think?
I liked it a lot. And it's funny, you brought up so many interesting topics right in the first few minutes. What if this was an awards film? What if it did come out in December and competed? I wonder how it would have done. I think it could play in some very significant categories. And I think you would have seen some very strong pushes in the Oscar categories going for nominations for the cast, because I thought Leonardo DiCaprio was phenomenal in this movie. And maybe at the time, one of the other factors that went into the decision is they wanted him to go for Django, and they didn't want him to compete against himself. But this is a fantastic performance by him, and he goes a long way to selling part of the reason why I liked this movie as much as I did. For people who might not be familiar with F. Scott Fitzgerald's novel and the story behind it, DiCaprio has to play this guy who is a mystery to so many people in New York and Long Island at the turn of the century, who are, you know, into this party atmosphere and the prohibition age where they're bootlegging alcohol. And Gatsby is this person who's at the top of the pyramid, but nobody really knows anything about him. And of course, DiCaprio can play that, you know, on the surface. He's extremely handsome and he's known nothing but, you know, wealth and success for the majority of his life. But there's a turn where you have to learn that Gatsby is this guy who is harboring a broken heart for a girl played by Carey Mulligan, for the character Daisy. And it was at that moment when the movie turned, when he's going to meet Daisy for the first time in a long time, where the movie just sort of picked me up and put it in its pocket and really carried me all the way through it. Because when you show up to it, it's going to have Baz Luhrmann's visual style. It's going to have the use of interesting music, which he always finds a way to do. And in this case, it's a hip hop soundtrack produced by Jay-Z. But the emotions and the love story, you know, Baz always gets those into his movies. And when he gets around to it, I thought The Great Gatsby really started to click and worked very, very well for me.
Yeah, I liked it a lot as well. I think, and I told you previously, after sleeping on it, I may have kind of, I like it a little bit less. I do think it's a bit bloated. It's a little bit long.
Okay.
I think it's got a phenomenal first half when Gatsby is in his prime and throwing these parties, and specifically the party sequences where they take contemporary music and infuse it with a 20s sort of vibe and style. There's one scene when they're partying at the hotel. They're partying at the mistress's apartment. You remember
right,
this scene?
Right, with Isla Fisher.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Isla Fisher. They're all there, and they're all kind of partying, and they're playing this music, and then there's a guy kind of playing trumpet outside, and it is just such a phenomenal scene.
Right, right.
And you're like, oh my god, this movie is great. And then once we start getting to the story, the meat of the story, the meat of these flawed characters and the relationship and Gatsby's intentions with Daisy, and kind of taking us through that part of it, it does get a little bit weighted down. And I could see how it may be hard for people to invest in these characters because they're all flawed characters. You want to invest in Gatsby, but you don't like him. And even whenever you do kind of like him, he gives you a reason not to like him again. And it's difficult. I mean, that's what's so much fun about the book. I could see it being difficult for audience members, but I liked it. I wish that the music was more infused with the 20s style. They do it on some tracks,
right,
and then other tracks are just like regular songs that are on the radio today. I wish that they used a little bit more creativity with those music, but the music is great and the performances are great. Like you said, Leo, I loved him in Django, but he's really good in this too.
Yeah, there's some really difficult scenes where he has to, because as you say, they're all sort of playing unlikable characters, and there are some stages where you want Gatsby and Daisy to probably reconcile. There are a lot of places where he starts to push it too far and you realize that he might not be the right person for her. And it starts to affect everybody around them. And, I was probably more invested in the way that triangle was going to play itself out in the second half. And I thought a lot of that was because of the performances of not only DiCaprio, but Joel Edgerton does a fantastic job as playing Daisy's husband, who is also cheating on her, and she's kind of aware of it. So because she's being cheated on, it almost makes it okay for us to hope that Daisy comes back around and reconciles with Gatsby. But all of those – and it can be melodramatic. It can be a little bit soap opera-y, but of course I think the book was. The source material is. What I want to emphasize to everybody is that if you're even, remotely interested, vaguely interested in seeing what Baz Luhrmann is able to do with The Great Gatsby, I do think this is something that you have to see on the big screen, because if you just wait and see it on cable, it's going to lose a significant amount of its impact. Now, I'm not saying I don't think that the 3D is necessarily, worth it, because there was nothing that stood out to me.
See, I actually disagree with you. I actually liked the 3D in this movie, specifically the scenes with the cars. I don't know if you've noticed it, but when there's a lot of scenes with cars in this movie,
right.
Driving to and from Manhattan to Long Island, and they do spend a lot of time in an interesting place that I don't remember ever seeing on, or at least not recently seeing on film. But the in between Long Island and Manhattan, in the turn of the century, kind of,
right.
I guess where Queens would be, is a very interesting area, and there are some characters there, and they spend some time there, and they show kind of the difference between the classes there, it's a very interesting. You don't look at this movie as a historical piece, but in some ways you do, and it's fun, and I love the Roaring Twenties, and we don't see the Roaring Twenties on screen as much, and seeing Baz Luhrmann do it,
it reminded me a lot of. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But yeah, but what I wanted to say is the 3D, specifically the car scenes,
right.
When the cars are driving at you, they're these really long, illustrious cars, and they kind of they play off themes in the film itself, and the party sequences are fun, and they do a lot of looking across the lake at the two houses, and there's just some interesting scenes. I mean, I also saw it at the Ziegfeld Theater, which is New York City's one of the landmark theaters. It's a couple thousand people can sit in there. It's this giant, grand movie screen, the kind of screen you'd want to see a film like this in. But you know what? I didn't mind it. And if you're going to go full Baz Luhrmann here and see this film, then go full on and see it in 3D and sit in the middle, because there are some really cool scenes, specifically the cars. Pay attention to the cars if you see it in 3D, and let us know what you think.
The look of it all reminded me when Peter Jackson did King Kong, and the last, the third act of King Kong takes place in that New York, the turn of the century New York, or the older New York. And even when Peter Jackson did it, I was like, I want to spend more time there,
yeah.
And that's this whole movie. It finally delivered on bringing that world to life. And so, yeah, I mean, I would highly recommend seeing it on the big screen. I thought it played really well. How did it play with the crowd at the Ziegfeld? Were they into it?
Very well, yeah. Yeah, with a round of applause after the film, with some hoots and some hollering. I think a lot of people really liked it, and I think a lot of people didn't like it. But I agree with Sean. There are going to be some reviews that just call it a waste of time, call it hollow, and don't like it. Maybe say it's a bit of a snore fest. I will admit that it is a little bit long. It does feel a little bit bloated at times. But if you have any interest, and if you like Moulin Rouge, you like Romeo and Juliet, what Baz Luhrmann did with those two films.
Ballroom. It reminded me of his Strictly Ballroom too, which was another great film.
Yeah, I mean, there are some sequences in this film that are just holy crap. They're just fun.
Yeah.
Just fun to watch, and I recommend seeing it, especially it's a nice little downer, a come downer, because I saw Iron Man 3, and then I've seen Star Trek Into Darkness, and then I saw this, and it was a nice sort of kind of come down from those crazy fight action sequences.
And that's what I think Warner's hoping for. I think they're trying to counter program in between those two massive blockbusters. And obviously with Memorial Day right after Star Trek Into Darkness, where we're going to have a Fast Six and we're, you know, families are going to have Epic to look forward to. This is the chance for, you know, adults, parents to take a date night, you know, adults to go for it. It's going to be a great date movie, I think, for people who want to go see something that's not superheroes blasting each other's faces off.
I agree. And the Lana Del Rey song, and I'm going to write about this specifically, but the Lana Del Rey has a track in here called Young and Beautiful. It does everything that a best song nomination should do. The lyrics play wonderfully to the themes of the film. The way Baz uses the song in the movie in different tempos just completely pulls you into it and brings out the emotion of the story and the characters and what they're feeling. It's just used brilliantly for this movie. It's an addictive song. It hasn't left my mind since seeing it. I don't know if it's eligible. I'm actually trying to figure that out now. I don't think it is, but it's going to be one of the songs of the summer, at least. It's just beautiful, beautiful song.
Yeah, so I think last week Eric and I were both prepared to jump right ahead to Star Trek Into Darkness. But, you know, as they say in the sports world, that's why they play the game. So once we both finally screened Gatsby, we realized it was something we wanted to talk to you guys about and share with you and let you know that, you know, this isn't Dark Shadows or this isn't a blip in the road in between blockbusters. This is something you should seek out and hopefully enjoy. And we'll get back into Star Trek next week. But for this week, give Gatsby a try.
There you go. Comment below. Let us know what you think about The Great Gatsby and enjoy your weekend at the movies.